So this afternoon, I'm welcoming back Liberal Democrat MP for Richmond Park and North Kingston, and you're also the cabinet spokesperson for the parties. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good
Today.
afternoon, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
That is always a pleasure to have you on radio, Jackie. Thank you for coming on again. So let's talk water to start with. So Ofwat are presiding over some price rises by an average of 36% over the next 5 years. Do you think Ofwat are fit for purpose?
No, absolutely not. And I mean, this has been a key call of the Liberal Democrats, throughout this year during our general election campaign and before and since. The problems that we're seeing with Thames Water, and your listeners will have experienced this in so many different ways: the leaks, the massive traffic jams when they're fixing the leaks, the billing, the appalling customer service, and for residents in my constituency, looking at their plans for the direct river extraction in between Teddington and Ham on the Thames, which just is just completely appalling. But they're getting away with this kind of and of course all the sewage outflows onto our rivers and on our beaches across the country. They're getting away with this because we've got such a poor system of regulation in this country. And so the Liberal Democrats have long been calling for the government to completely replace Ofwat with a new regulator. We want to hold water companies properly accountable for their customer service, for their pricing, and for their stewardship of the environment. And that's something that's really got to happen soon.
And how can we ascertain that a new regulator will be any better than Ofwat?
Well, they would have powers for a start. I mean, one of the underlying problems of Thames Water is the huge amount of debt that their previous owners got them into because they were extracting cash from the business and failing to invest. Ofwat simply don't have the powers to regulate that kind of financial activity. So we want to see, a new regulator with much tougher powers to be regulating all aspects of water companies' operations.
They're promising with this increase in funding from the public, ourselves, that they're going to invest in infrastructure like reservoirs and storm tanks to avoid the mixing of rainwater and sewage because we're having so much more rain now. That's why we're having sewage overflows. So, do you think that's something they could go along those lines of? Would it make a difference? And can the government give Ofwat more power to enforce those?
Absolutely, the government should give the regulator more powers in order to enforce that kind of thing. Ideally, a new regulator rather than Ofwat, because I think Ofwat have become really discredited. But absolutely, I think that's what Thames Water should be investing their time and energy in. Absolutely. I mean, we know that one of the reasons that we have so many sewage overflows into our rivers, particularly the River Thames, Beverley Brook in my constituency, the reason that that is happening is because very outdated sewage infrastructure. And you're absolutely right, Jackie. We are seeing extreme weather events now. We've had quite a few storms recently, and your listeners will have seen very, very heavy downpours, and that really our infrastructure cannot really deal with that level of rainfall. And so we've absolutely got to be upgrading our infrastructure in order to meet that challenge, because the indicators are it's not going to get any better. But that's where Thames Water should be focusing their time and their energy and their money, and not on these massive environment threatening projects like the Teddington DRA. So absolutely, let's be focusing on strengthening our existing infrastructure.
And they should be practicing what they preach because if you talk about domestic households, if you aren't on mains drain, you have to have treatment centres put in. And if you're caught with your treatment centres not working properly and putting sewage into ditches, which may eventually end up in a river, you're fined heavily. So they need to practice what they preach, don't they?
They absolutely do. And I mean, I think that it's right. There's something for all of us there in being better custodians of our natural resources, and that includes water. And so I think we should all be on the alert for wasting water or thinking about how we can be more responsible in our usage of water. But it's not all on consumers. It's not all on residents. I think people will feel more motivated about that if they think that our water companies and our water regulators are acting responsibly. So I think that, you know, there's a virtuous circle there, but as you say, it starts with Thames Water practicing what they preach.
I think people need to see something being done quite quickly with the added prices they're paying for their water, and then at least you know something's happening in the right direction, don't you?
That's absolutely right. And I'm thinking about my residents in Kingston Vale at the moment, and they've had the most appalling situation over the last year. There's a big sewage pipe, and anybody who's travelled down the A3 recently will know exactly what I'm talking about. At the junction between the A3 and Kingston Hill, massive sewage pipe there. I mean, it's breached several times this year. It's like sewage all over the pavement for some of the residential streets just behind there. And Thames Water have been back to the site two or three times, and it's still not properly fixed. And the residents there are just in complete despair. So when they're seeing things like that Thames Water is simply not able to fix properly or address properly, and then, you know, their efforts to do it are causing massive traffic congestion in the local area. It's very hard then to come to people and say, well, you know, you need to think about your water usage, or, you know, we need to charge you more. You know, and so, you know, there really does have to be a much greater effort on behalf of Thames Water, particularly the water industry as a whole, to really start addressing some of these challenges.
Absolutely. So moving on, Richmond Park policing. You're running a survey. You've obviously got concerns that the Met considering reducing policing to Richmond Park. How far have you got with that survey, and what sort of feedback have you had from your constituents?
So I've had a quite substantial response from constituents. What this is about is the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, Mark Rowley, is saying that he's having to consider cuts to the police force. They're not making any decisions yet, but obviously one of the areas that they're looking at is the Royal Parks Operational Command Unit, which is the sort of the separate force, if you like, within the Met Police. That police is the Royal Parks, and I'm anxious about this news. And you know, I've had more than 600 responses so far, and people are very, very supportive of the Parks Police, and it is a really important role. We're thinking about Richmond Park in my constituency, Bushey Park as well in Twickenham, and you know, the role of the Parks Police there. It's not, you know, there's a vast areas that need to be covered, and the policing of those spaces is quite specialist. So I'm just anxious that the Met or the people making decisions about future policing needs don't underestimate what it takes to police the Royal Parks, and don't think that it's something that you can just be done with an expanded neighbourhood team. It needs specialist policing. So I'm just highlighting the issue. No decisions have yet been made. But I'm just really, really concerned to make sure that the decision makers in the Met Police are aware that they are a specialist unit for a reason, and that they need to continue their work.
And we're being promised by the government having more police on the streets. Now you're up against taking police away from an area that's very important and very specialist.
That's right. That's right. As I say, it does require specialist policing. You know, it's an area of kind of like vast sort of open spaces, the particular kind of reassuring the public of their safety in a space like a very large sort of nature reserve, which effectively is what Richmond Park is very, very different from, you know, the sort of policing of the streets that we normally see.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important, I think, that, you know, the parks have got their dedicated officers.
Thank you. Can we move on to mopeds in New Malden? Not exactly your constituency, but certainly your constituency must be affected by it. So, I mean, there's sometimes as many as 20 learners that line outside along the McDonald's in New Malden High Street. They're all learners. I'm guessing that are they learners because it's cheaper to hire learner moped drivers than fully qualified ones? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't have much insight as to why learners are being hired particularly, but I mean, I know it's a nuisance, and pedestrians, and particularly elderly and more vulnerable pedestrians, feel very threatened by mopeds on the pavement. And It's like it's the delivery companies, isn't it? It's the Deliveroo and it's the Uber Eats, and they're waiting outside McDonald's for people who have ordered online or whatever. And I think it's just important. I mean, it's something that I can certainly raise with Kingston Council in the case of the situation in New Malden, just to make sure that the existing regulations and legislation is being properly enforced. It's probably worth making sure that the DVLA are aware where we see lots of learner drivers, learner
Riders,
motorcyclists, yes,
learner
learner riders.
drivers.
And again, it's just about we need to make sure that the existing laws are properly enforced, and that's certainly something, as I say, that I can raise.
Do you think, is there a time limit by which they can stay a learner before they have to actually get a provisional license? Is something the DVLA should look into? Because they can stay as learners for as long as they like, I presume.
I think there is a time limit of 2 years. I think that's right. And again, it would be certainly something that the DVLA should be enforcing. But I mean, certainly it doesn't increase people's sense of safety if it's learner riders on the pavement. It's kind of like you at least want to see that it's somebody fully qualified, because that would who has a basic awareness of road safety. But it is quite intimidating. I've seen them outside New Malden McDonald's, so I can understand people's concerns.
Do you have any areas of concern with these mopeds in your area, in your constituency?
I'm just trying to think. I think that, I mean, that's the one that's been no, most noticeable to me as I'm travelling around the wider area. But yeah, I mean, I think what's a mopeds generally, we had some issues in other parts of the constituency with moped crime, bag snatching and things like that. It's certainly an area that I would encourage the police to be looking more closely at licensing and enforcement of, at least just the traffic regulations and the speeding and so on, because I think that will make a difference.
Yeah. Let's go on to South Western Railway. What concerns do you have re-nationalisation? They're going to be the first to be nationalised. What are your concerns about it?
I've got questions about that, and I'm hoping to raise them with the minister after Christmas. I mean, I think basically anyone who's tried to catch a train from my constituency, or indeed the wider South West London area, in the last couple of months has faced just the most enormously frustrating time. There've been delays, there've been cancellations, and it seems to come from a range of different issues. It's lack of staff, it's been the storms we've had, it's been often sadly passengers on the line or whatever. I can probably count on the fingers of one hand how many times the train that I planned to catch left on time in the last month or so. It's been really, really terrible. So I mean, I'm relatively neutral on whether railways are owned by the state or by private operators. What I care about, and what I think the majority of my constituents care about, is whether they are leaving on time and whether they arrive on time. That's our number one priority. Yes, we want them to be reasonably comfortable and reasonably clean. We want, not to be. I think that's the other issue, is not been it's not not just timeliness, but also so many occasions recently. What would normally be a 10-coach train has turned up and been a 4-coach train, and then people, so overcrowding has been a real issue. So, whoever's running the railways, can we just get those basics right? And it just seems to be getting worse and worse. While the train fares, of course, are going up and up, and we're going to see probably another hike in regulated train fares after Christmas. Just like with the water issue, we're paying more and more and more, and yet the service is getting worse. So I don't care if it's nationalisation, privatisation, whatever. Let's just get it working properly.
Yeah, well, they've rolled out a new load of arterial trains, haven't they? Which is 10-coach trains, which they're promising to put into the arteries, they say, which is your area, all the arteries running into London. So it's a nice cliche, the arteries and the arterial train.
I mean, I like that actually. I like that imagery, in the sense of it's kind of like, this the people who are, you know, it's the lifeblood of London. It's and it's you know, it's what keeps London's, you know, heart beating is people's
Exactly.
ability to move around. So I actually quite like the imagery, and I like the new trains. And I think it's really great that you can sort of get on one end and walk all the way through, you know, and I think that will help to ease some of the overcrowding issues. And they're nice, they're bright, they're spacious, they're still relatively clean and nice to travel on. So I very much welcome the new trains. We just need more of them, and they need to run on time.
Yeah, one of their excuses, because I was up there when they launched the Arterial train at Waterloo, and I asked this question of SWR is, you know, why are you cancelling services and are you going to reinstate them now you've got the new super duper trains? And they said, well, we need to have the trains filled. And I said, well, if you don't incentivize people to get back on the train, you're going to still have empty trains and you're going to cut services.
Now, this is the argument that the Liberal Democrats have been making, you know, a number of times over the last few years in Parliament, and particularly post lockdown. It has been a real challenge. People got used to working from home. Many people kind of reorganized their professional lives in order to spend more time working from home. And that, of course, has had a knock-on impact on the railways. But myself and my colleagues have always been concerned that it eventually just becomes a sort of a bit of a you know, a kind of a negative spiral, because the services aren't there when people want them, either because they're not scheduled or they're not arriving on time. Because you haven't got the quality of service that people want, they're less likely to return to work and to get back on the train. So we need the train companies to start encouraging a positive spiral, like, you know, encourage people to get back on the trains, make, you know, commuting attractive, make it affordable, make it something that, you know, there isn't too much of a barrier for people to travel into town. And that will have a massive knock-on impact for the economy, because it's not just about getting people from their homes to their offices or their places of work. It's also about encouraging people to go out in the evening, to come into the centre of town, go to the theatres, go to the restaurants. So, you know, it's all of those things that are so important for our citywide economy. And so we really do need, so I think the arterial trains, for that reason, are a positive development, because we do want, you know, for people to feel comfortable on the trains, for them to feel that they're safe and that they're efficient, and that they're clean. So, but yes, we absolutely need to encourage that kind of, like, that positive reinforcement. People use the trains because the trains are there, and the trains are there because people use them.
Lots of chicken and eggs there, aren't they? But hopefully
Yes, exactly.
we'll get them back on the train. Well, finally, I'm going to let you go now, but do you have a Christmas message for the Radio Jackie listeners?
Oh, of course I do. It's been a long and eventful year. But I hope everyone in Richmond Park and across Southwest London has a wonderful Christmas and a very happy new year.
And a very happy Christmas to you too. Thank you for coming to talk to me. I look forward to catching up with you in the new year, 2025. It's a new year. And hopefully lots of good things are going to be happening.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jackie. Bye
Thank you, Sarah. Bye for now.
bye.